All right, let's begin. Let me review briefly what we did this last week. We started talking about women and Kriyat HaTorah, women reading from the Torah. And we noted that the rabbinic obligation to read from the Torah finds its roots in a biblical obligation. Finds its roots in a biblical obligation of Kippur. You notice once every 7 years, on the Sukkot following the Shemitah year, they would build a big bama, a big platform for the king to sit on in the Ezrat Nashim. The masses, Anashim Nashim, the Taf, would come and hear the Kohen read portions of Sefer Dvarim. And the portions that he read were many of the portions that dealt with statements of faith, Shema, and Vayam Shemoa, and a variety of halachot. The major purpose of the public Kriyat HaTorah, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, was to inspire the people about how the importance of Torah. Here everybody's coming, everybody's focused on the Torah. Here the king, the leader of the nation, is reading from the Torah. This tremendous hoopla done around the Kriyat HaTorah is to inspire the people as to the importance of the Sefer Torah and centrality of Jewish life. But the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, seeing the importance of learning and reading Torah, set up his own rabbinic ordinance, even though it was done by Moshe Rabbeinu, since it was done based on his pedagogic insight. Tony has a famous rabbinic ordinance. And Takanat Moshe was to read from the Sefer Torah on Shabbat and on Chagim. But on the Chagim, you would read the portions appropriate to the Chagim, and on Shabbat, you would read some portion from the Torah. We don't know exactly how it was formulated, the picture of dividing the Sefer Torah into portions the way we have, or there's a three-year cycle. We don't have a tremendous detail. But there was this Takanat Moshe, to read the Torah on Shabbat and Chagim. In the Bayit Sheni time, Ezra came along, and Ezra, dealing with a society that is almost completely uneducated, to the point they don't even know that intermarriage is forbidden. And they barely speak Hebrew, and a variety of Moshe Rabbeinu, in an attempt to re-educate the Jewry of Bayit Sheni, highly assimilated Jew of Bayit Sheni, institute. Ezra, in the chat, to re-educate the community, institutes Kriyat HaTorah on Monday and Thursday, which was the Shuk day, so the people were coming in, and also on Shabbat, for those who couldn't come on the Shuk day, so they would at least hear some of the Torah on Shabbat during the day, and Shabbat in the afternoon. Okay, and it also seems that Ezra instituted what we now know as the formulations of three aliyot on a weekday, four aliyot on a yod and Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, five aliyot on Yom Tov, six on Yom Kippur, seven on Shabbat. Those divisions were, it seemed, also instituted by Ezra. Now, there's also a procedure of the Kriyat HaTorah. There was when Ezra instituted Aliyot, to add three, he instituted with it Brachot. Now, it seems that the Bracha was made before and after. Again, in contradistinction to the Brachot one makes over private learning of Torah, which are made two or three, as they count them. Brachot in the morning for your personal Torah reading. With the Aliyot, there was the institution of of brachot before and after. In the, your private brachot, you didn't make a bracha after, because as we said, learning never ends. Right? But in the Aliyah does come to an end. So you made a bracha before, you didn't make a bracha after. In the same fashion as you make a bracha before Hallel, you make a bracha after, you didn't make a bracha before the Megillah, bracha after the Megillah. They're all in the same format of a bracha made before reading the text, and then the bracha, summary bracha after the text. We saw last week that in the original institution, the first person to get the aliyah, let's say there was three aliyah, or let's say there were seven aliyah, the first person would make the first bracha, and the last person would make the last bracha. But for a reason that the Rishonim don't completely clarify for us, I mean they tried, the Gemara says that it was important because people would go in and people would go out, it was important that a bracha be made over every aliyah, so that either people would know there's a bracha before and after Kriyat Torah, because they went in or went out, they wouldn't know that, or that the people hearing the Kriyat Torah, if they came in the middle, they wouldn't have heard a bracha before and afterwards. Or as I think the pshat is, the people getting out of the aliyot, if they came in late to the Kriyat Torah, right, how could they go up to the Torah? And this is my interpretation. How could they go up to the Torah? They came in late. They didn't hear the first bracha. And they're getting an aliyah. How do they go up to the bracha without having heard a first bracha? Or if they went out early, they wouldn't hear a last bracha. After all, their mitzvah needs a bracha before. It's just that somebody in the beginning and the end was motzi then. But if they went in and out, they would get an aliyah without having any bracha related to it. So therefore, they institute there should be a bracha, each person should make a bracha. Either way, the Chazal changed the system such that every person who got an aliyah made a bracha. To the point that if a Kohen, for instance, gets the first aliyah, and there is no Levi, the halacha dictates that the Kohen gets a second, he makes the bracha again. Right? Which is almost seems absurd, but if you say the bracha is for each individual aliyah now, as many aliyah did you get? That's how many bracha you make.
And closing
the door. And closing the door. So the Kohen can very often get, you know, two aliyot. It happens quite often. He gets the Kohen and for the Levi. Can I even take my joke about that? Oh, this is a cute story. It's a cute joke. What? No, I tell jokes. The story about this gentleman who was a nothing, absolutely nothing. He was a nice guy, you know, but he was a nothing. So he decides after the age of 40, 45, that he's going to move to another community, and he's going to tell everybody he's a Kohen. Wow, he's a Kohen. He gets called a first, he gets a Leviot, pick him up, Ben, first the benching, first the dokening, pick him up. It's fantastic. He's just the life of the party, and he's enjoying it. But at the age of 80, he comes back for the heavenly part. Listen, sir, for the first 40 years you were pretty okay, but these last 40 years, what's this shtick with the Kohen business? This 10 years in the hot oils. Okay, he goes out 10 years in the hot oils. Comes back after 10 years, this is like this. And even now he's like this. Huh? Yeah, Kohen did 10 years, you know, another 5 years. Another 5 years? I already did my 10 years in the hot oil. He says, no, this is for the Bekom Levi. Okay, so, and that is an important point, that as a Bekom Levi, he does makes a separate book. Only other element that I want to review very quickly is to remember that each person, until about the year 1000, until the time of the end of the Gaonic period, just moving into the Rishonic period, every person who got an aliyah read their portion. So being called to the Torah meant you read. Torah. You had to be knowledgeable enough. By the way, that system is very common amongst the Taimanim still this day. But the Yid goes up and that's when they all know Torah by heart. Because they got to be prepared. You know, and they learn from the different little kids. All right. Well, we'll talk about that. That's what we're talking about now. Okay. Now, the interesting thing that we finished off with last week was a very fascinating Gemara, which is source number 8. Source number 8. And this is where our discussion begins. Second side, source number 8. Tanu Rabbana, the rabbis taught. Hakol olim de minyan shiva. Everyone can go up for the count of the 7. Vafilu katan, vafilu isha. Even a minor who's not obligated to create the Torah, maybe because of chinuch, but he's not obligated per se. Vafilu isha, even a woman who's also not obligated. These two categories who are not obligated can get, at least in originally, could get an aliyah. Aval amru chachamim, the chachamim said, isha lo tikra b'Torah, a woman should not read from the Torah, but make for its zikur, because of the honor of the community. Okay? Now, as I pointed out, this whole section is quite problematic. First of all, why should this be different? We asked a whole bunch of questions. Let me just repeat some of the most more salient ones. Why should I think the woman should be allowed to? After all, where do we have a situation where somebody who's not chayav could be motzi somebody is chayav? I mean, after all, anybody that's an aliyah reads from the sacred Torah for the community. You can't do that if you're not chayav. So how could a woman get an aliyah? She's not chayavet. She's not chayavet. That you're 100% correct, and I'll come back to the point. That may be the reason why the Chazal permitted such a situation. Yes. We'll talk about it.
Yeah? I understand also why she shouldn't be learned.
What? Why should she be learned? Why shouldn't she?
Because if there are men present, she wouldn't sign.
Then why doesn't the Gemara say?
Because she would
have to hear her voice. Yeah. Then the Gemara knows how to say that. The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara says something about the honor of the community. Honor of the community is not called Kol B'Yishayah. It doesn't say anything about it.
What's also astounding is that this law
diluted form. Look at source number 10. Source number 10, Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shulchan Aruch is in the 1500s. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch brings to Halacha. Hakol olim leminyan shiva. Afilo isha v'katan. Sheyodim lamin mevareh. Avon amru chachamim isha lo tikra v'tzibur mebnei kvod ha'tzibur. Now look. Shulchan Aruch is a Halacha. He should have said, what? Isha lo taleh. What is he saying? A woman can get an aliyah, but she shouldn't because of covenant with Chazas. Shulchan Aruch doesn't go through historical evolution of Halacha. If it's not relevant, it's not relevant. It means that it's still relevant. That there's something here that is important. That it's important that at least theoretically a woman could get a living. Okay? There are circumstances. What's hiding behind the statement is that there are circumstances in which a woman can get a living. And the postkin will talk about those circumstances. I want you to be sensitive to the kind of the formulation is not the way a law book would have said it. If the rule is women can't get aliyah, so what do I do this? You know, I go into 20 words that are totally irrelevant. Say isha lo talan tzibur. You want to say isha lo talan isha kavod tzibur. You want to say it, say that. But what is it? Which everybody get aliyah, even a katan, even an isha, but she will come and say what? You know, I don't think the Shulchan Aruch. In the Beit Yosef, in his book, where he discusses the origin of the Halacha, Rabbi Yosef Karo's book, Beit Yosef, yeah, you can talk about it all you want to. It's his job. He's encyclopedic in the origin of the Halacha. When he's coming down to the Shulchan Aruch, tell me the Halacha, tell me the why, what? Keep the Gemara's formulation, which tells us something about a historical evolution of Halacha. That means that it's relevant. And I hope to help you as we continue through the material. Okay? And you'll see, unfortunately, we have today's shiur, two more shiur. I'm not sure we'll get up to discussing covenant seeker. We'll have to delay it till I come back in sometime in September. But we'll get through a lot of this material and we'll try to understand some of its relevance.
You're saying this formulation of low is a weak low?
I'm saying it's a weak look. Chazal is saying that they shouldn't get an aliyah. Yes, they shouldn't get an aliyah, but it's not what?
It's not a no-no.
It's a normative no. It's not a total absolute exclusion. Yes, women. The Chazal are telling us women. That's what it's like. As far as the halach is concerned, what? Because of covenant tzibur. Because of covenant tzibur. Whatever covenant tzibur means. And a normative situation, we couldn't get covered up.
But maybe these women can have an aliyah.
What? First of all, you're raising an issue here, which we have to deal with. Does the Baal Korin make a difference? As far as we know, as far as we're still in Talmudic times, there's no such thing as a Baal Korin. You're asking me, Aryeh, does the fact that that in the 1000s or whatever it is, sometime, in the Gaonic period, they instituted a Baal Korei, does that change the Halacha? Right? Does the fact that the one who's reading is some Baal Korei, does that change the Halacha? I don't know. We have to analyze it. And we will. Okay? Trust me on this. I can turn up one of them, but I'm... Notice again that he's still dealing with it. What does the Rama say? The Rama says you can have someone get the aliyah, but not all of them. Why even mention it? It's not relevant. Why say, you know, you can have You can have minors and women get aliyah, but not all of them. This is, it's a real practical problem that we might be able to have to deal with. Okay, so I'm trying to point out, I will try to demonstrate that it is. Okay? But you have to understand the circumstances under which it's referring to. And then we'll expand a little bit later. Okay, but we have a lot of learning to do before we can make any statements. Okay, now, one of the questions that was asked at last week's shiur, I started off the whole shiur with the question, maybe that how is it that a woman can get an aliyah? After all, she's not chayevet in kriyat haTorah. So someone said, what do you mean? Maybe she is paying. Maybe the fact that she can get an aliyah proves that she is chayevet. Well, I think that clearly that question is good by women, but it's not good by children. Because by minors, it's clear that they're not chayevet. That there's something here that's not completely covered. But the question is still valid. Okay, by me, by children, there's a special interest, a special different rule. And let me tell you something. there's a point that we're gonna see this in the Tosfot, and I think that you have to be aware that there is a fundamental difference between women are not chayavot and children, male children are not chayavot. That's the difference. The difference is that even though women are majors, right, but they will never become out. While the minor male children, they're minor, but they will at some time become a chayav. And they have a mitzvah of chinuch. And the mitzvah of chinuch means treat them as if they're going to be chayav because they have to know how to function as a chayav. So Chazal made dispensations for chinuch they wouldn't make for children. For instance, a woman knows she's going to have to shake lulav. Can she go around and say, without shaking a lulav, can she go around saying, I don't feel a lulav with God's name? Of course not. You want to make the bracha, you make the bracha. Right? But I can't. But for children, you tell me, what's the bracha you're going to make before? And you tell them, you make kids next to the bracha, right? Or you teach kids bracha, and they say God's name. The answer is there are certain dispensations that we have to teach children. Chinuch permits certain things that, so there is a fundamental difference in halacha's attitude in certain aspects between women on that path and children for sure.
What about female children? You'd say that they would be different with female children?
That's a good point. I think the answer would be yes. The answer is yes. Because they have a mitzvah of chinuch.
But they're never going to become a chayavot in that mitzvah.
But they will learn how to do a mitzvah. They can learn, since as adults, that's a good question. Let me check. That's a good question, but my gut feeling is the answer is yes. Okay, but I will have to check it out. Okay. So now let's now take off, just step back for a minute. I'm going to ask the question, are women obligated in Kriyat Torah? And what's women's relationship to Kriyat Torah? I made the assumption they're not Kriyat, some of them don't. Maybe they are Kriyat. Let's now see it. Open up the book in the Hebrew sources, it's on page 118. And the English, those are the English, it's on page 201. Sources which are suggestive of the fact that women are chayavot in Kriyat HaTorah, or at least that women were involved, present during Kriyat HaTorah. Now, what would be the fundamental argument why women should be chayavot?
Because of Hakel.
What? Because of Hakel. Beautiful. Because of Hakel. That mitzvah, once every 7 years, women did come. They were obligated. And if Moshe Rabbeinu came along and set up Kriyat HaTorah along the model of Hakel, then the woman would be chayav. What would be the counter-argument?
That's once in 7 years.
Man, that's clear propaganda. That's you know, we're trying to get Klal Yisrael, you know, well, worked out special. It's worked up, you know, it's Shabbos, it's a mitzvah, mind your mind, every Shabbos, every week, right? Hagel is a unique experience. It's clearly mitzvah, mind your mind, but it's unique. And it's a tenth, you know, it's a manjivas, a chef, to get them to fear God. It has a tremendous educational goal involved. So, there's a big machlokes. The majority of posting are that even if they're obligated in Sefer, it doesn't mean they have to do it from the Sefer. The majority of posting seems to be, and this is as a major machlokes, what's the psak? But most posting seem to hold that the majority of posting is that women are pure. Or the Tumosim Kriya, from a Kriya to Torah, or a Kriya to Torah, maybe Chayavot to hear it, to say, you say, remember Amalek, but not necessarily from a Sefer.
But you said Haifam is the basis for men also.
Yeah, that's correct. Once every 7 years. I agree, but that's special.
But not just the, I thought that's the basis for obligation.
Good. You know, that was clearly an obligation for women too, because Haifam says, I'm Nashim, I'm Nashim, 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 Nashim,
Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim, Nashim,
Well, we see, it seems to be the only model for a
people. Okay, so then why is it the same thing applied to the women? For the ones who said that you're using that model.
But the question is it a good model? Is it, I mean, in fact, something, yes, the fact that there's a precedent doesn't mean that it's an all-encompassing model. That it was a model for reading the Torah. It doesn't mean a model to have to get everybody. It doesn't have to.
So you say the men's obligation really is for Moshe.
Moshe saw that the Torah, the guy instituted once in 7 years, he said it's a good idea, it's to once in 7 days.
But it's only
true. Yes, it's only true. Because other women, it's a mitzvah to say, she has a man come up. It's a Shabbos, even though it's a Shabbos mitzvah, but it's a public, it's a tzibur, and the Chazal didn't want to learn more about it. It's a tzibur. All right, let's look at the Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim are material, and we're on page 118 of the Talmud. Masechet Sofrim is material. We know that we have the Mishnah was written around 200 of the Common Era. The Talmud was written around 450 of the Common Era. From 450 to about 600, we have a period that are called the Saboraim. The Saboraim are redactors. They sort of sealed the Talmud. They did final editing. They also edited some minor tractates. Okay, their authority is not as great as that of the Amoraim, which are the Talmudic period, but they organized material of their own halakhic of their own and those who came before them. Masechet Sofrim, the Masechtot Ktanot, is a part of that material. And in this Masechet Sofrim, we read as follows: Sefer Kinot. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Sefer Kinot, which is the book of Echa, Korei b'bchiya u'b'yalala. We read with Bechi and Yalala. By the way, note, this is the first origin of the custom of reading Kinot. It's born in the Sefer Sofrim. U'metargen lefi sh'yavinu bo sh'av ha'am v'anashim v'atinokot. And they translate the Sefer Kinot so that the people, the women and the children, should understand. Shahanashim chayavot v'shmoa kriyat sefer kanashim. Because the women are obligated to listen to the reading of the book just like the men. So it's suggestive of the fact that women are obligated to continue in the middle of the Sefer Torah. ומן הדין לתרגם לעם, לנשים ולתינוקות, לעם לנשים ולתינוקות, כל סדר ונביא של שבת, לאחר קריאת התורה. And it's proper also to translate for the people, the parasha, the weekly parasha, and the prophets, the Navi, after Kriyat HaTorah, that we read after Kriyat HaTorah. Now, the implication of this Masechet Sofrim is that women are obligated in Kriyat HaTorah. The Magen Avraham, this is the Magen Avraham that we actually saw several years ago when we started this year. Magen Avraham reads as follows. Magen Avraham cites our Gemara. Kol olim b'minyan shiva afilu isha. Gemara says that everybody goes up for the minyan shiva, even woman. Mashma mikan, it would seem from here, says the Magen Avraham, the isha chayev l'shmo kriyat Torah. The woman is obligated to kriyat Torah. Because how could she get an aliyah? And getting an aliyah meant what? Reading for the am. How could she read for them and read for the am and be motzi them their obligation in kriyat Torah if she's not obligated? And by the way, this question is going to haunt us for several weeks because this is a fundamental issue. Afa pi shein chayevet b'tam Torah. Even though women are not obligated in per se, they're obligated to know Torah, therefore they have to learn it, but they're not obligated in the theoretical obligation of learning Torah. Mikol makom mitzvah l'shmoa, they have an obligation to hear the reading of the Torah. Kamo hakel, to be part of this covenant of Torah, just like they are in the covenant of Torah by hakel. Umihu, however, he backtracks. Yesh lomar, da'afo pishen el chayavot l'shmoa, olot the minyan. But it is possible, says the Magen Avraham, that even though they're not obligated in Kriyat HaTorah, the Chazal made a special dispensation, and so they can get up, they can be Olot HaMinyan, they can go up. Olot HaMinyan Shiv'a. Doesn't mean they can count for the Minyan. What I'm talking about? The Minyan means the Minyan Shiv'a. They can count for the seven. Okay? Now, let me just mention in parenthetically, we're going to have to deal with the question, do women count for the 10 required for Kriyat Torah? You need a minyan to be able to read Kriyat Torah, and the vast majority of the folks will say that since they're not obligated, that's the consensus, they can't count for the minyan either. Okay? We discuss that when we discuss women and minyan. Okay. Aval, says the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham jockeys. He says, based on the Gemara and Megillah, one could argue, on the one hand, since women can get an aliyah, suggested that they're obligated. On the other hand, it's theoretically possible, he says, that they would not be obligated, and yet they could get an aliyah, but he doesn't go into it. We'll have to see this a little bit more. Aval b'masechet sofrim, but in the Masechet Sofrim it writes, הנשים חייבות לשמוע קריאת ספר כאנשים ומצווה לתרגם להם שיבינו. Women are obligated to hear קריאת הספר כאנשים ומצווה לתרגם להם. It's proper to translate for them so they will understand.
They understand
that. Generally speaking. But notice that it said, it keeps saying, מן הדין לתרגם לעם, לאנשים. The text says, illiteracy was rampant. But as bad as it was for the men, you said. Now, here comes the famous last line of the Magen Avraham, which we saw. Kan nagu hanashim latzet hachutza. It says here, the woman went out, go outside, you're pierced the Torah. What does he say? He says, well, it would seem that Klal Yisrael thinks I'm wrong. Because the women, if the women were obligated, how the women walk out. These are not women who decided not to show up to shul or came in later. They were there. They just walked out. So suggestive that Christ was suggestive of the fact that they don't. Okay. So at least the Magen Avraham is a first source, and he bases it on the Masechet Sofrim, a first source suggestive of the fact that women are obligated or might be obligated to be the Torah. Let's look at the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef says, Yesh tzat ra'ayah shenashim chayavot b'shmiyat kriyat Torah. There is some indication that women might be obligated in kriyat Torah. Mimash katakatur, from that which the Torah writes, Shemosifin olav vi'i the Rosh Chodesh. Why is it that Rosh Chodesh, which has no real sanctity, it's true it has a musaf, but it has no yontif qualities, no isur malacha, why do we get a fourth Aliyah. I mean, Chol HaMoed, I understand. Chol HaMoed has a musaf. Chol HaMoed has certain malacha that's also to have Chol HaMoed. It's a shtickle chag. So I understand, you know, but why a Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, while it has a musaf, it doesn't have any isur malacha. So he says, "B'nei she'ein bo bitul, mishum she'ein bo bitul malacha l'nashim." He says, because there's no fact that we stay longer in shul. Chazal were worried about that if you have a lot of aliyah, people would be, there'd be bitul malacha. Davening would take longer, and people would go out to work late. So the Gemara says, but on Rosh Chodesh, since the women don't work on Rosh Chodesh, we'll talk about this. Yeah. We're gonna take off some, we'll start a little bit this week. We'll talk about women in Rosh Chodesh. There's a very, especially in the modern period, this has become a big thing. We'll read through some of the sources. But the Gemara says, you know why we don't so worry about the fact that shul goes a little bit longer, another 2-3 minutes longer? Because the women are not working anyway. What? Mashma, what? Well, in some cases, they. Oh, we're going to read it. We'll read some sources there. What? In our generation, but in our generation, we have no reverence of it. But we know that the time of the Sholing and the Tan, there was a big deal. They had parties, and I know the people, my Rebbe, Rebbe of the Kohen, it's a Sudan Rosh Kodesh, they do it in a lot of schools, they get dressed up. And when I was in Yeshiva, they would give us decent food on Rosh Kodesh.
You know what, there's a decent Suda, there's a woman working.
Okay, Mashma, let's continue. We'll come back to this in a second. Let me just. Mashma Shiyesh La Shayachut L'Shmiyat Kriyat Torah. The implication is that she has some connection to the Kriyat Torah. Because think about it. What do I care? I mean, why should I? There's a fourth Aliyah because the woman batel from Malacha. What is it added? Why should the fact that she put the Malacha express itself? Dafkin Kriyat Torah, unless women are connected to Rosh Hashanah. Unless what you're saying is, let me explain to you what he's saying. Unless we're saying that you know who's in shul? The women are in shul. And they're Chayav Kriyat Torah, and we don't care that we make the davening a little bit longer, because why? Because 50% of the people in shul, they don't work anyway. So it's true, the other 50% there, you have to go out to work, but the other, it's only 50%. Only 50% losing to. Is that, well, that argument would make sense. But to say the women are home, not listening to Kriya Satara, right? That we should worry about the fact that they don't do Malacha. What is that? I mean, it's the men who have to be Kriya Satara, the men who are going to go out to work late because of an extra Aliyah. What is the fact that the women are buffing from Malacha? She says it doesn't make sense. Alright. So there we have essentially two sources which are suggestive again of the fact that women have some connection to Kriya Satara. Aruch HaShulchan sets these two positions aside. And he is representative of the vast, vast majority of poskim, Rishonim and Achronim. It's almost astounding that the Magen Avraham could suggest that we're obligated based on the fact that we have Rishonim. We're going to see some of them as we go along. Tosos and Meiri and Ram and one after the other saying the women are not obligated to hear the Torah. But that's what, how do we deal with them as so forth? It's clearly suggested that we're Chayavah. Masechet Sofrim Ke'orach HaShulchan. Masechet Sofrim states Nashim chayavot v'shmoa kriyat sefer. One rabbi had the other reading the book. Nevel li, the lav kiyum gama. He's not saying that that's a complete obligation, absolute obligation. But a dum yititinoka, but just like the minors, shavet turam itam b'tor, because after all, she is obligated, she is free from the obligation of sitting and learning Torah. Va'od de'ein zman gama yotero. There's no positive command, which is time determined more than this. Why should we think the women are obligated in Kriyat HaTorah, so it can't be literally the Nashim Chayavot. But it means it's proper that they should hear. Okay? Besides, if you read the text, it's not clear that when it says Kriyat Sefer, that it's referring dafka to get the Torah, and I refer to Ikar, the other ways of learning Pshat, we shouldn't know learning Pshat, but in either case, let me just bring to your attention that we don't, even if that is the Pshat in the Masechet Sofrim, there are a lot of things in Masechet Sofrim which we don't pass on. Masechet Sofrim includes a lot of the customs that we had the Torah, which were true at that time, 600 of them here. We don't pass it by 60% of what's written. So, I mean, I don't want it to shake you up too much, that even if that's Pshat, we don't pass it. Yeah, there has all sorts of brachas. There has a bracha, we say Asher Bachavanu, but there, you know, the bracha we make before an aliyah is Asher Bachavanu, the Kalamim, and Atamanu, Atamoto. There in Masechet Sofrim, I had a bracha like, which really was said something, Asher Bachav, Asher Natanamu Torah min Hashemah. You never heard such a bracha. There are a lot of things in the Masechet Sofrim. But in any case, continues the Aruch HaShulchan. And let's not compare the mitzvah of the hakel where women were explicitly obligated. That's once in 7 years. He would read those things which are meant to inspire individuals. Which are words of admonition, of warning, words that essentially try to warn the Jew how to act. Avot shenema shenuchim kabot b'chol Shabbat b'piyat haTorah. Vaday he milted the tzmiyah. To say that one is obligated every day, every Shabbos, that's certainly questionable. So it would be astonishing. Umasim b'chol yom yochichu, and everyday activities would demonstrate it. They what? Besides, generally speaking, women can't even hear. What is he talking about? The synagogue was built in his time. It says even if they were lucky enough to get there, the being sure was very difficult for them. Well, okay. I mean, if you think about our modern shuls, right? Our modern shuls are idyllic compared to what was in Nevada, or where you lived, where you had the wall before ceiling, and maybe a little window in the wall, In any case, and the post can talk about Mikra and Megillah, they said it, they don't understand how they hear the Megillah reading, and that's why everybody should go out and ask them to go home, and make sure in my family, it was a problem, the acoustics were a serious problem. And that's why there was the institution I mentioned that was either Zagrika or Zogere, these are women who upped it. These are women who davened out loud. That they would stand by the wall, by the window, hear the men daven, and she would daven out loud. She was almost like a Shrikat Tzibur. She just davened out loud, and so the other women could follow along with her. But these were acoustical problems. Ella the Masechet Sofrim, that which the Masechet Sofrim says that women should be hearing the Kriyat Torah. That which is proper, because man shayu metavim, where they used to translate, nachal metavim lefneim lefneim tikkun, when the time where they used to translate the text into the vernacular of the Aramaic, nachal metavim lefneim lefneim. It is proper that the community should institute a liturgoman for someone to translate the text for them into the vernacular. So that they would understand the text and they would be inspired. But still with God's fear. Okay. That's that. So again, as I pointed out, the vast majority of people don't know that they're children. The women are not obligated to create the Torah and not like the mother of God. Alright, now we're going to just turn to page 92. Since we mentioned something about women in Rosh Chodesh, that's a good point. Yes, in chapter 8 on page 150, in English 158. Okay, actually, yeah, 158. Let's actually look at the, it's top of 93 actually. 158 in English and then Hebrew on top of 93. Okay, now the Gemara here is talking about different actions that people do, whether those are legitimate customs or not legitimate customs. So the Gemara writes as follows. Nashe, women, dinehike the non the meded uvda, the women who refrain from doing work as Shabbat goes out, Eino Minad Ad Yafne Sidra Minad. Okay, if they refrain from doing work on Motzei Shabbat, at all, working at all, after Shabbat, that's not a valid custom. But if they refrain from doing the work until after the Sidra is read in the shul, that is a valid. I don't want to go into that, okay? Well, we can say it this way. If you, that they don't have, if they don't do work at all on Motzei Shabbat, that's not a custom. But if they don't do work until they say, after Saturday night, after you finish Shmona Esrei, you say V'Noam and you say Vata Kadosh. Those are two, and that's the Vata Kadosh. You say selection from the Levim, where you say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Go to work right after Shabbos. Not to do work at all on Shabbos, there's no such thing. On what? On Motzei Shabbat.
You said Shabbat.
On Motzei Shabbat. Betalia uva hamashta. Not to do work on Mondays and Thursdays. Anyway, that's not a minute. At Yitpani Tanita Minan. But if they wait until after the fast, that's a valid custom. They don't, they had a fast and they don't work in their fast, that's a custom. Yoma da Avufta Eno Minan. The Arava day, which is they used to have a, they used to, well, they had the Arava. Right? It's not a minute. Minchata Ola El Minan. But from the Mincha service on, that is a valid custom. Yoma diyalcha mina. If I don't do work on Rosh Chodesh, that is a valid custom. Rosh Chodesh, that is a valid custom. Okay, now let's read. So there is one of the earliest sources for the fact that women had a custom of not doing work on Rosh Chodesh. And that was recognized as a valid custom. Now in Pirkei Avot Rabbi Eliezer, but reads as follows. Dan Aharon din beino lebein atzmo. Aharon had the following discussion with himself. Ama, im ani omer lehem. Now this is by the end. This is a discussion that people come to him and they ask him to go to him. So Aaron says it was fine. Im ani omer lehem tnu li kesef v'zahav miyad hem megiim. If I tell them to bring me silver and gold, they'll immediately bring it, because they want to go to Sefer. Ela havein yomer lehem tnu nizmei neshechem u'bnechem. Miyad hem tnu v'zahav. But if I tell them, bring me your wives and children's jewelry, he says, they're not going to keep up. No, the matter is going to be stop right there. Shnemar, by Yom Aharon, Pirkun is Me'azav Hashem Baznei Neshechem B'nechem U'vnotechem. That'd be all right. So, because the language is a little bit strange. Why do you say, give me your jewelry? Right? What does he say? So he says, give me your wife's jewelry. Shamu Hanashim, the woman heard that the order went out to take them off their garments. Shamu Hanashim, the lo matzu v'lo kiblu alem lipendez alem. They decided they're not going to give their jewelry to the husband. Ela amule, Basot Eidel the Toleva Shein Bokoach Latzil Lo Nishmar. We're not going to listen to you. The motivation was not because they didn't like give up their children. The Rish Medrash says further that the motivation was, we don't want to give it to build an ego. Natan lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Schoran Bolam HaZeh, God gave them the reward in this world, Shehein Mishamrot Roshei Chodoshim Yotem Roshim, that they guard Rosh Chodesh more than the men. Venatan lehem Schoran Lolam Haba, Shehein Atidot Nitchadesh Kamo Roshei Chodoshim. That in the world to come, the woman will become renewed, rejuvenated, like the new moon. Just as the new moon rejuvenates itself, so the woman in the world to come. Ra'u ha'nashim, shelo shamu ha'nashim lahem. The men heard that the women weren't listening to them. Became this man of them, to give them the truth. Ma, so what they do? Ad otoshah haya ha'nizamim v'asnehem. The men had jewelry just like the Arabs. Talkuat Nizmehem Asher, by the way, this is one of the classic proofs. Right? What?
The Arabs.
But Arabs were jewelry in their ears, like nails.
Yeah, okay.
He says that at the time of the Torah, giving of the Torah, men wore earrings. It's clear that the time of Chazal, it wasn't customary for men to wear jewelry, right? So therefore, the Chazal is saying to their listeners, right? You probably don't even think there's an other alternative. No! At that time, you know the Arabs, they wear jewelry in their ears, the males? They wear earrings? Says, well, that's how the Jews that went out of Egypt, they did the same thing too, so they took earrings out of it. This is rather one of the classic proofs. The problem with low kildash depends on what's customary for that society. So they said, look, they had earrings. Males had earrings. Okay? Pakwat is Mehem Asher was Mehem in the so they took off their jewelry. You know, it's the pasuk. Shinema Vayim Paku Kol Ha'am Et Nizmeh HaZahav Asher V'Ozneh Hem. When Yosef, the Medrash is beautiful, the Pasuk Bet, Aaron says, take off the earrings from your wives and children's ears. And the Pasuk says, they took off the earrings from their ears. Asher bozmei Hashem lo nemakan, ela asher bozmei. So you see that the Medrash of Rabbi Eliezer links up the fact that the women the fact the women get Rosh Chodesh, right? Get Rosh Chodesh as a day off because of as a schar for their not having played with greed to give their jewelry for Rosh Chodesh. Okay, I think yes. Someone said what? For the ego, correct. I always tell my students in class when they take notes called as a write what I meant, not what I said. Okay, now, this next section is based on the following Gemara. I have to read you the Gemara. Gemara is the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara reads as follows. Tashma. No, you don't have it. It's here because I prepared for my shirt. Tashma. Zeklau. This is the rule. How do you know when you have 3, 4, 5, 6? Zekla, kol shiyesh bo bitul melacha la'am, anything that requires loss of work for the people, kigon tanit zibur, b'tisha b'av, like in tanit zibur, tisha b'av, where? Mitzadeh that you can do work, right? But tisha b'av, the meaning that we try not to do, you should try not to do work, but if you have to, no, you can do melacha. No Eastern melacha per se, on Tanit Zibur or Tisha B'Av, Kohen Gimel. You only read 3 aliyot. B'she'en bo bitul melacha la'am, for there is no bitul melacha for the people, kigon Rashei Chodeshim, like on Rosh Chodesh, the Chol HaShemoed, and Chol HaShemoed, Kohen Dalet, you read 4. Now, the problem, of course, is Rashi in the Gemara Megillah reads the Sefer as follows. Mikra Nesayo, the verse agrees, Tichtiv Asher Nistara Shem B'yom HaMaseh, that Nistam Tishan, where you hid there on the day of the Maseh, the day of the action. The Tichtiv is, what is this day of the action? B'yom HaDechola, on a weekday, V'kamila le'erev Rosh Chodesh Yom HaMaaseh Amar Rosh Chodesh La Yom HaMaaseh. So you see that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. This is talking about the famous story with Shishol and Yonatan, and he talks about that the day he hid was Yom HaMaaseh, because he referred to that was Erev Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Chodesh, That's not a Yom HaMaaseh, it's not a day of working, because in Rosh Chodesh, there's no Malacha. Okay. Let's now look at the Yud Zayin, where the Gemara talks about the Poskim here, talk a little bit more about the relationship of when specifically to Rosh Chodesh. Okay, on page 94, and in the English, we're now on page 161. Shamati mi'achi Rav Yehuda Tam Lezavah. This is now in the Torah, Chaim is in the 1300s. What is he writing? Shamati mi'achi Rav Yehuda Tam Lezavah. Why did the woman get Rosh Chodesh? Lefi shamoadim nitkenu neger ha'avod. Because the Shalosh Berlin were established in opposition to the three avod. Pesach keneger Abraham, the Fidushi v'asidot, because there's some connection between Pesach and Abraham, making for the three Malachim. U'Pesach had, there was a Pesach. Shavuot, keneged Yitzchak. Shetkiat Shofar shel Matan Torah, hayah b'shofar merilo shel Yitzchak. There's a connection between the shofar blown at the Shavuot. It says that the sound of the shofar was strong, and that was from the isle of Yitzchak that was used to blow the shofar. Sukkot keneged Yaakov, dechtiv, ulemekneo asa sukkot. Yudbet roshei chodeshei ha-shana keneged Yudbet shvatim, were against in opposition to the 12 tribes. Kshechatu ve'egel nitlu mehem v'nitlu l'meshoteyem, v'zeche shelo ayu lo tochet. And they've taken from the tribes and given to the wives as a reward because they didn't sin. Let's continue. Now the Ar Zahua suggests a different reason. The fi shebechol chodesh bechodesh sheyishar mitchadeshet. Because there is a biological connection between women and Rosh Chodesh. Just as the month, right, renews itself every month. Similarly, a woman renews herself. She begins a new cycle, the togalet, and she goes to the mikvah. The chazer of the barai, she returns to her husband. The yichabiba lati yom ha-chupah, and she returns to him to be beloved to him like the day that they were married. Shem shalavana mitchadeshet b'chol chodesh, v'akol mitavim levotah kilo etah chadasha. And just as the new moon, everybody yearns to see her as the yid cycle begins, it was natural to make Rosh Chodesh symbolic for as a holiday for food. Now, this business about the woman not doing work is really very foreign to us. I don't remember ever hearing a woman who didn't do Malacha Rosh Chodesh. You never saw it. Really? It's mentioned. See what I'm saying? We'll see the second. But it's brought in the postgame. It seems that it was a pretty widespread thing. By the way, if they didn't sew, it means that their husband couldn't say so.
I know sometimes my husband thinks about emotional
No, there is, when I was growing up, I knew that there were certain Rebbe men, Kong, we can talk about the importance of that Sukha, and that show the Gemara of the Chodesh. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rabbi Eliezer. It's fine to pick Rabbi Eliezer. Lefi shelo ratzu anashim nitein nizmeyem. They didn't want to give their earrings. Lefi ze nira devade leki isurim anashim im yasu melacha. There's no prohibition on the women from doing melacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu natan lam scharan. God gave them a reward. Shiyu mishamrot roshim, so they could keep Rosh Chodesh. Shalu yuchal ba'ala nekofan atzav melacha. That her husband can't force her to do work. And that's what I'm saying. Right? Right? And that's what it says. That there's a minhag not to do work. That the husband can't force her. I don't know. She wants to take out the day to sew her a skirt for herself or do that she should be elected. But she's not doing an Isser, but she should choose to do Melacha. Bahashta Nicha now comes all right. The Chazin and the Mitzah Nashim also. Melacha, Balomachin and the other, that some women do Melacha, and they don't, and nobody objects. But like Isra, because there is no such, there's no an Isser. It's merely for the women to decide. All right, let's stop here. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, is the opinion that not like this. You see, it said that the majority of folks see all that if there's a minute after the melacha, you're not supposed to do melacha. But generally speaking, I'm trying to do more research on it, but generally speaking. Now, the reason why I went off on this tangent was simply because of the fact that the Hidah demonstrates that the Gemara says that it's all right to add another Kriya because the woman didn't do melacha, because it wasn't known to do melacha, which suggests, again, the woman's connection to create the Torah. But in the modern period, the connection is, the Magen Avraham from the kind of Azulai felt that it suggested that the women were in shul. Look, what do? We said if there's no, that we're making the davening a little bit longer because, and it's a little bit of, we add an extra kriya, which makes the davening a little bit longer. Okay? Because there isn't a loss of work. Now, if the men do go to work on Rosh Chodesh, certainly there is a little bit more. Because the women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. Now, if the women are not in shul, what's the argument that, what's the argument that they're going to be losing work? I mean, suggested the women were in shul. Most of them say not so. Most of them say that since women don't do work, it's a lazy day. In the modern period, there's a lot of feminist literature on Rosh Chodesh and trying to make Rosh Chodesh a special day. That's why the women were wall. On Rosh Chodesh, because that's their special feminist link to Rosh Chodesh as being a woman's day. Okay, we'll see you next week. Okay, we're back in the text. Tefach megula be'isha b'makom shedrakah l'chasod afilu hi ishto. Even if it's his wife, he cannot make a bracha with these areas exposed in his wife. Okay, ishto, let's go back now to Mishnah Berurah Gimel. Okay, it's right underneath after the underlining. Ishto, b'lachein tzarich lizaher b'sha'a shemeneket, if you're home and your wife is nursing, and since she's nursing, her breasts are uncovered. Shelo ledaber as shum davar shebedusha. You can't talk to Torah. As if she's covered, if she covers herself and the baby, then no problem. But if she's exposed, it's obviously her home. You can't talk to her any words of Torah. Now, we're going to read the tshuva, we're going to read the selection of the tshuva of Rav Adaya, which seems to disagree with this. Okay, then he has a different, but he's a different school, so we have to be careful. All right. Let's now. What I'd like to read just one thing that we haven't dealt with. Let's go to the beer halacha.
before we go on, the Bir Halacha refers to the statement Tepach Megula Bisha. You see that little star refers to the Tepach, the right after the Alp. Tepach Megula Bisha. So what does he say? Ayin v'sefer Shulchan Shlomo. See the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, Shekatav, the Shir Zeshayach Afilu Biktana Mibat Gimel. I'm sorry, Afilu Biktana, I may have read it wrong, but it's still pretty extreme. Afilu Biktana Mibat Gimel Ve'elech. Shehi Ru'ya Lebiya. That is, as I pointed out, in Halacha, sexual relations, it's considered a sex act for a whole variety of reasons, from the age of 3 and on. Ve'elech, Shehi Ru'ya Lebiya. Okay, so what does he say? That means that if a little girl comes into shul, even though she is cute, and, you know, she's 3 years old, she walks in and she's wearing a sundress, can't talk to shul. Fortunately, the roof of parents. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah cites, and he generally cites it without comment, it means that anyway, he leans this way. He leans this way.
Even women on the women's side?
Well, that would depend on the rush. I already told you we don't pass. No, you're right. According to the rush, even women exposed, other women can't daven. According to the women, there would be a problem. No, it's considered, he says, if for a sex act, it's considered, if she's considered a woman for the, halachically, for concerns of a sex act, then, according to the Shulchan Shlomo, from the age of 3 on, that's also
problematic. Wait, so a fully clothed woman in the men's section wouldn't be a problem?
Wouldn't be a problem for this.
They would not stop that.
You would not have to stop that. And I would argue that a fully clothed woman in the men's section is not a major problem. Okay? It's not a major problem. Just as a man opening the windows is not a problem for the woman. Just a woman. There are instances when we talked about women saying Kaddish. We did see that there was some discussion about the Abela coming in and saying...
Yeah, but in the back, it's in the neck.
The back, what's the back? The back, it wasn't just the back, or not the back.
So what? No, the back neck, turning away is a perfectly...
Most post-game home, okay, and then, for instance, there was a discussion, we'll get to the bench sometime, about women getting aliyot, okay? So one of the discussions, the Gemara suggests that theoretically it is possible a woman can get aliyot, so the post mass or Moshe do. She can get an aliyah. She's got to get in the men's section. So that's where they're reading Priyat Torah. How would she possibly get an aliyah? So mechitza. So what's it say? One or two women year mechitza. There's a whole discussion about that. All right. It's a mass concept. Mass men, mass women, you need a mechitza. But for one or two women, you don't need a mechitza. Okay. That's good. Let's continue. The imhi bito. But if it's your daughter, mi yud alav shana ve'elah. It's only until she starts developing. Because when a girl begins developing sexually, which is approximately from the age of 11, says he, that's when it becomes a problem if she's your daughter. We don't assume any sexual distraction for a father towards a daughter before the age of 11. And we're just telling you now, the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Shulchan Shlomo. The Chazon Ish states that for all girls, it's only until they start developing approximately the age of 8 and 11. So that's when that's new. Rabbi Yosef says you should educate your daughters a little bit earlier. But the question, when is that a problem for my language? So it's clearly a little girl, according to Chazon Ish. And this was a problem. There was several people in the shul who came objected. There were several girls running around, 3-year-old kids running around in sundresses in the shul. The came and I showed the Chazon Ish. They all slept soundly. Okay.
Well, you know, isn't that like the guy who asks the rabbi if he can go on the subway because he has to sit next to him and he says, okay, it's a shuttle, you can't go?
No, well, most people didn't respond that way. Most people talk about sitting, being in the subway and rubbing, not, you know, constantly being thrust against women or sitting down in the bus next to women. But the Moshe Feinstein has the truth about that. For a lot of people, this is not true. Some people look forward to the opportunity. That was a joke. All right. Haggah. Let's go back to the Ramah. We'll read one more section. Haggah. V'yesh omnim dafka b'ishto, avol b'isha acheret, afilu pachot mitefnacha b'hemra. But if it's not his wife, says the Ramah, I disagree with the Shulchan. The Shulchan says it's a tefach for everybody. It says that, however, there's a Yeshomim, some say, well, he usually says Yeshomim, that means that's the Ashkenazi view. The Yeshomim, okay, Dafka B'ishto, it's only with his wife, but the other one, even less than the Teva. So we're going to skip a little bit. Let's look in the Mishnah Berurah, Vav. Okay, which is Vav. B'isha Acheret. So he says, Bein Pnuya. Bein Eshet Ish. It makes no difference whether she's a Pnuya or an Eshet Ish. Now, why would I think that there's a difference? Because a Pnuya is why was a Mutar? Because the sexual relations may be permissible. Because in theory, polygamy is permitted in Halakha. So therefore.
He was sent on the wife's
will.
Yeah, but he's descended. No. No, you're right, but he's expressing it.
In other words, so if it had to whether the woman is committed or forbidden to him, then his own wife is committed forbidden, then...
Listen, your analysis is correct, but he's pointing out the point. It makes no difference. But you're right.
Here it is that the
It applies to your daughter as well. I mean, you're right. It applies to everybody. Not only an Asian issue, usher to you, you might think it stems from an Easter. Right? This has nothing to do with this, has sexual distraction, and therefore it makes Pnuya, Nusua, your wife. I mean, you're allowed to have sexual relations with your wife. But when you're saying Krishna, you can't be sexually distracted by your wife. Not that the sexual distraction in and of itself is usur. It's inappropriate the time you're trying to say Krishna. You're supposed to be focused on God, not on your wife.
But can you say that if it's your wife, then you can see a tefach, but if it's a woman, irrespective of whether she's married or not, then you're not allowed.
According to the Shulchan, okay, the question is, the assumption is with your wife, if it's a tefach, it will cause, there is an element of being used to your wife. So therefore, if it's more than a tefach, that's already substantial, and therefore you can get sexually distracted. With another woman, even a little bit sexually distracted. All right, let's continue now. Zayin, pachot mitefach. Okay, pachot mitefach. V'im hashok migule. But if, right, we said, avol b'isha acheret afilu pachot mitefach havi el. So it's that was even less than the tefach. V'im hashok migule. But if the thigh, remember he's learning shok meaning thigh, yeshomim davilu b'ishto upachot mitefach asur lekot negda shehu makom hirul yoter mishar eivarim. This is the thigh area. Okay, remember, this harkens back to when we learned the Gemara, we asked, if the Gemara says Tefach B'Isha Erva, why do we need Shok B'Isha Erva? So we said, there are a variety of different answers. One answer is because Shok, everybody agrees that it's less than a Tefach, because Shok is closer to the genitals. So therefore, he actually says there are those who hold that, and he brings the Valacha, then the genital, then in the above the knee, even less than a Tefach. Okay? Now, you know what that means. It means if he holds it from the knee, doesn't mean that the knee... Let's see what we mean. If you say that up to a tefach is all right, so if a woman walks in with a skirt above her knee, is that all right? So according to the first... depending on which she tell you hold, but according to him, you can't. Your wife, you could. Okay? But he says it's by the shok, so by the shok, even less than a tefach. Okay? Okay. דהאיסו הוא להרבה פוסקים לקרות נגד המגולה אפילו בלא מכוון להסתכלה. He says, until now, he says, we're only talking about the prohibition of Kriyat Shema, that the prohibition for many poskim is לקרות נגד המגולה, to read before that which is exposed, אפילו בלא מכוון, even if he doesn't intend to להסתכלה, to look at it. אבל עניין, עניין איסו הסתכלות, but if you're looking intentionally, לחולי עם, everybody agrees, המסתכל באישה אפילו בעץ בקטנה, כי מי שמסתכל בה, since he's looking at her, to do, again, here we're talking about to draw sexual pleasure, להנות עובר בלב ולתתו אחרי לבבכם ואחרי עיניכם. ואמרו שאפילו יש בידו תורה, ומעשים טובים לא ינקה מדינה שלנו. Even if you're a firm guy, it's got a lot of time in Torah learning, and then I'll get you to this one. Continue. Uriah ba'alma lepitumo. But you're looking, you're talking to a woman, you're not, normatively, okay? You're not staring, you're not leering, there's no intention, there's sexual intention here. Shari, ilo mitzad ha-musar. It's like maybe it's maybe improper, depending on the community. I mean, that depends on what's considered proper or not. וכתב הפנים מגדים, דבמקומות שדרך להיות מחוסה, כגון זרעותיך, היגבנה שאר מקומות הגוף. Primogadim, however, says that the area which is normally primitive, the sort of elbow down or knee down, okay? Uchaygavna sha'am makomot, the other places. At riyah ba'alma asu, even looking at it is also. Then he says in this relative area, he says, if it's normally covered and now becomes exposed, you're not allowed to look at it. If it's exposed, you have to turn. That's okay? And I hope you don't, I can see that I'm losing some people for here because of that. Details and also because the hour's late, but we'll just finish this and move on. He said, we have this area according to the Mishnah Berurah, which goes from the elbow down, okay? Same with the knee. Suppose you're in a community in which they normally cover. Girls wear skirts with sleeves down here, okay? Suppose now it becomes covered. Now, we said that if an area is normally exposed, the man's not allowed to look. Allowed to look at a woman in an area that's normally exposed if it's not in the area that's above. Okay, now suppose you live in a community, so this is a halachically mobile area, and the halacha then says, suppose you're in a community in which they normally cover. So some would say, well, since this halacha, there's no opinion about this, suppose it's not a problem to look at her while this is exposed. People come to the opinion that the community, if a woman walked with her sleeves down to here, and now she's rolled up her sleeves to do the dishes, for instance, you can't look at her. And she's in that area. That's what that was the opinion of Prima Gadim. No, he moved over to general. Moved to the general. Shh, just one second. Now continue. The Katava Poskim, the Ptulot Didan Bechlal Nidoten, Mishyagil Azman Beset, Ubechlal Arayoten. He makes a comment which is extremely relevant for a variety of things. In the good old days, a woman who had her period, whether she was married or not, went to the mikveh. No. In the good old days. I don't say that. Certainly in time of the Mishnah. Women went to the mikveh. I mean, it didn't only because you're married, because you had to deal with Trumot HaMasot. Because you had to deal with Kala, which had a certain kedusha, you had to give it to the Kohen. There's all sorts of Tumah which you had to deal with. A man, after he had sexual relations with his wife, went to the mikveh. I mean, because they usually was considered a Baal Keri, right? Or there's all sorts of dealings with Korban Noth and Tumot HaMasot. Everybody went to the mikveh all the time. It wasn't a big deal going to the mikveh. She was going to the mikveh all the time.
She couldn't take challah when she was a
nida? Well, she couldn't do that because she was a nida and she gave it to the Kohen and she made a tummy.
Sure. So they didn't eat?
It gets much more complicated than that, too. It's Mishka, Moshe, and also it's a very complicated skill. Now, many households, this is going to be on my ken, but it's a very complicated subject. But for the men too, it was a problem. It's not just uniquely for the women. Now, if you notice, they uncovered around there, around the Beit HaMikdash, all these mikvahs, because you're walking along the street, you may have sat on something or leaned on something, but somebody was tummy leaned on. So before you went to the mikvah, everybody went, you know, whether you thought you were in the, you went to the mikvah, you went in. You went in the mikvah, and then you went out the other side, and you went out to the maiden to the Beit HaMikdash. It was, right? No, the mikvah, we discovered all around the walls, everywhere you go, right? It just, mikvah, by the dozens. Now, there's a lot of halachot that are put now. So, in most cases, a woman, an unmarried woman, okay, so let's say 20% of the time she's a nida, 80% of the time she's not a nida, and she went to the mikvah. And they didn't necessarily have 12 days, they only had 7 days, and it was a much shorter period, so you assume there are 7 days out of 28 days, or whatever it is, 30 days, 20% to 25% of the time, she had 2 months nida. But nowadays, we don't send our daughters, we don't encourage them to go to the mikvah. Okay, because when we want to, it's one of the patentum we use, we make her an Isser Karet, and we leave her a nida. First of all, because we don't deal with tumah matzot nowadays, the kohen after you have to give the kohen and stuff like that. We don't deal with kavanot. So there's no reason for her to go to the mikvah. And we can use it to make her more usher for promiscuous sexual relations, so we leave her as a nida. Now she's a nida. Now there's a variety of other isurim of negia and physical contact and histaklut and all sorts of things that become halakhically problematic. And he just mentions it here, that it would just complicate the issue. Okay, just give me one more minute, and we'll just finish up the chet. What about this rush? The rush said that the chet now in the okay where we said the rush said that one woman could look at another woman when she's exposed. Have a rashba cholekaza. The rashba disagrees with this. The tamo disvirelei dechiheki debatzman. What all you said here? Dechit ba'atzma yichola nekor kishia ruma ama de'ein begilei kol gufa mishum v'lo yera b'cha'er v'tavar. Just for herself, sure, her whole body can be exposed. God lachas says, so her body is exposed. You don't present a problem, right? Elo the nashim only for men. Umishum here because of sexual distraction. Kain af isha acheret muteret likrot ulitpanel negda kishia ruma. והאחרונים מסכימים עם הרשב"א ודעתם וגם הרמב"ם מודה בזה. Okay, let me stop. Okay, so that the mission points out, we don't like the Rashba, a woman in the mikvah can make brachot, even other women are exposed, provided the genitals are covered, and there's no problem on that distraction. Next week, I'd like to deal with very briefly with a very simple question. And that is, what about a woman being distracted by a man? Is that, because we've got told now, we've pretty much talked about women being distracted by men distracted by women.
Men,
they can make brachas and shrimp, that's correct. No, but they have to be covered. Generals have to be covered, so there's no problem with such a distraction. We have to talk about the problem. We'll talk about what the problem is next week. Okay, that's what I mean in here.